We've been in 2 Peter, and for a while now, we're still in chapter 2. I think this is the fourth or fifth week, and we're still in chapter 2, which is not a bad thing. We're in verse 12, and in chapter 2, and starting in around 10, God starts talking about these false teachers, these presumptuous, they're self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of the dignitaries.
No.
False teachers have a way about them that they'll just say stuff that doesn't even line up with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. They'll say things, they lead people away from righteousness.
Yeah.
And they sound good. They probably know how to pronounce all those hard words in the Bible, all those begots this one, then begot that one. You know, the ones that have like 58 consonants and 2 vowels, those names. And they can pronounce all those things. They're pretty. They have the $300 camel hair suits on, and they got the big white pearly donkey teeth. And they just smile. They just so pretty.
Hmm. I can see Joel's
that's what I'm not going to call a name, all right? But yes, amen, sister. And so, but they look good and they sound good, and they talk about the mercy of God with not knowing the God of mercy.
Right.
So they talk about a relationship without really having a relationship. They teach another gospel that's not covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a convenient gospel. It's a pretty sounding gospel. It's something that sounds like good news, but there's really no life in it.
Yeah.
Oh, they have big churches, but they're leading a lot of people to hell.
Yeah.
And God has a way for them. And they're presumptuous. They're self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of the dignities. Whereas the angels, which are greater, this is verse 11, the angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing or accusation against them before the Lord. Now, even though those folks are doing that, the false teachers are doing that, the angels of God aren't saying, look at that nasty speaking fella down there. Angels aren't bringing accusation about them.
Yeah.
We need to be careful, you know, how we ridicule them. That's why I tried real hard not to say a name. Okay. Now there's a spirit that we can talk about, the spirit of Antichrist, not the Antichrist, the one coming, but there's a spirit that came out. John said that we know that many Antichrists have come out from us. They came in and they learned the truth of God. They learned the love of God. And then they took it and they twisted it and they perverted it and they changed it and they repackaged it and sent it back out to the world. They preached another gospel, which was a doctrine of man and not the doctrine of Christ. They preached things that were wealth and prosperity, but not the truth of repentance in the heart of men. And Peter is talking about these folks here. And he says in verse 12, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and should utterly perish in their own corruption. Wow.
I know.
Now, he didn't say a name, but look at what he's talking against, that spirit of false teaching, that spirit of false doctrine being brought out. And he said, listen, these guys, they're natural brute beasts. They're ravenous. They're tearing apart. They don't care about the body of Christ. They care about their own body. They're corrupt in their heart. They're corrupt in the way that they do things. And he says that they will utterly perish in their own corruption.
Yeah.
God said, and I like that about the God. Guess who's going to take care of it? God is.
Mm-hmm.
God is. And there's coming a day that those false teachers, they're going to come before God. And we know from Timothy that if you're a teacher of the gospel, you're going to stand a harsher judgment.
Yeah.
Than anyone else, because what you say from the pulpit can either bring people close to Christ or drive them away from Christ. It can either bring them into a good relationship with the Lord, or it can make them worship a Lord that is not God, right? Make them worship their money, make them worship their own heart, make them worship their own mind, make them worship a lot of things that have no life.
Right.
That's right.
Make them worship the pigment of their skin, thinking my pigment is better than your pigment. No, it isn't.
Yeah. No.
And God is no respecter of a skin color. He doesn't care. It's about the heart of the individual.
Right.
And if a pastor or someone saying this life matters and that life doesn't, that pastor should not be preaching the gospel. Because it is not the life that matters, it's eternal life that matters.
Right.
This life is temporal. We are all going to die. We're all going to stand before God. We're all going to be in that judgment seat at some point. We're all going to breathe our last breath here someday, and then comes the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And these false teachers, they do not fear God. They don't fear. They're out for filthy lucre. They're out for their own self-satisfaction. And men that we knew and love and respect, and on the outside, they looked real good. But things that were going on behind the scenes that God, only God could see. We have a fellow that just passed away. I still think a lot of his apologetics, and y'all probably know who I'm talking about. I thought he was an excellent teacher of the Word of God. But there were some things in his personal life that were anti-Christian, anti-Christ. And they came out after he passed. That doesn't mean what he taught wasn't right. It just, he wasn't right as he taught it. You know, and God's going to judge him for that. That's not for me to say right or wrong, good or bad. All right? And you guys, don't follow me. All right? Amen. Follow the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't follow MacArthur. Don't follow these. Don't follow Olstein. There's really good Bible teachers, and there's really bad ones. Don't follow the man. Follow the God. Follow the one true God. The only way that you can follow him is to get away from the opinions of man and back to the Word of God. Now, I know that one of those guys I called out, he drives people to the cross. Amen? He preaches and he brings it, and he's a great Bible teacher. Right? MacArthur. I like what he says.
He's a scholar.
There's
a big difference between a teacher and a scholar.
Yeah, because you can have ring around the scholar, right? And you can shout it. I'm sorry.
But
I don't know what a scholar is. I really don't.
It's people's own fault.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, sister.
Don't read your Bible listen to these false prophets. But if you know God and you want to know God, the Holy Spirit will guide you.
Yes.
There's no excuse.
There's no excuse. Thank you. And that's so true. Exactly what Miss Marianne just said. We are without excuse.
Amen.
If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you take whatever that pastor is saying and you examine it, be a Berean. Bring it to the Word of God and say, is what he said correct in the Word of God? And, well, even at that fellow I was just talking about, he said a lot of things that were correct in the Word of God, but his heart wasn't right. And if you followed the man and not the God that he talked about, I guess that's where I was coming with that, is we don't follow men. We don't follow Peter, right? We don't follow John. We follow Jesus. This whole book from the Genesis through the Revelation is spoken of about Jesus the Christ, about the coming of the Messiah or Messiah that has come, at the cross, or the one that's still yet to come, right? And so that's what the whole of this book, the whole of this scripture is written of, about the promised love of God coming to the world, right? And that's the whole thing. It's all about God. It's not about Abraham. It's not about Moses. It's not about Peter or John or Paul, all right? Those were people there, but all of them were sinners.
Mm-hmm.
All of this book, the whole of this book, points to the one perfect one, which was the man God, Christ, the Messiah, God manifested in flesh to experience all of the sinful nature of man and yet without sin.
Yeah.
Right? He had to be tempted in all ways, just like we're tempted, and yet not have sin. These false teachers, they teach you things that sound good.
Yeah, but if you know the Word, you're going to get...
Amen.
Right.
But if you're, like if you were brought up in that church, or any place where the pastor isn't preaching the word, and you just believe that because your mom believed it, your brother believed it, your grandma believed it, you're brought up for 15 generations under this one thing, and that thing could be wrong. Has anybody been believed wrong stuff before?
Sure.
Yeah, amen. I believed wrong stuff with my whole heart. I believed it, and it was wrong. Until I read, like, exactly what you're saying. When I read the Bible, when I opened up the scripture, right, and I compared what I was taught to what the Bible said, it changed my mind. Right? It changed the way I believed.
Yeah.
And it is okay. It's okay to be wrong for a while.
Yes.
It's not okay to stay wrong.
No.
Right? When they say the cross plus whatever equals salvation,
no.
You cannot add to the sacrifice that was made on that cross. Your works, it's the cross, but you got to be circumcised. It's the cross, but you got to pay a tithe. It's the cross, but you got to count your beads. It's the cross, but you got to jump through this hoop, or you got to jump through that hoop. You got to wear holy underwear. You know, whatever the thing is, no, it is the cross and the cross alone. It is Christ. And a false teacher will take a little piece of scripture, and he'll twist it and knot it up, and he'll make it sound like drips of honey and butter. But it will lead you straight to hell. Right?
The Holy Spirit.
Amen. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, and you were taught that you could say a prayer, and that's all you had to do, just say a prayer, pray after me, and you'll be saved. I was taught that. I wasn't taught that you had to repent, that you had to truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of His Word. It didn't tell me that I needed to look for holiness and pursue that. All I had to do was say after me. Repeat these words and you're safe. Repeat these words. And once you repeat those words, you have slid into a home. You can continue to rape, pillage, murder, whatever you want to do. You said the words, you're safe. I was brought up that way until
but
I read the
God
word of God.
God you out.
Amen.
And He will bring anybody else out.
If you seek Him, right? If you seek Him. There's a lot of people that are very comfortable with that.
Well, yeah.
Right? Because it sounds good. Right? These are the false teachers, and those false teachers can drag a lot of people to hell with them. They teach something that sounds so good, and it has just a twist of truth to it.
Always.
When Satan tempted Jesus, he used the word of God, and he took the truth of God and put a little twist to it. When he tempted Eve in the garden, did God truly say, if you touch this fruit, you will die?
Yeah.
He didn't say, if you touch it. He said, if you eat it. Somehow she believed that if you touched it, you would die.
Yeah.
I don't know where she got that doctrine, but it wasn't Bible. Mm-hmm. Right? So, I think her husband taught her incorrectly. I know if I want to keep my wife away from something or my child away from something, don't touch that. Don't touch that. It'll hurt you. Now, or don't touch that. It'll kill you. Right? Don't stick that fork in the light plug. It'll kill you. It won't kill you. It'll knock the snot out of you, but it won't kill you. So go ahead, try it. You'll do it once and you'll stop. Anyhow, but you teach some things with the right heart and still have it the wrong doctrine. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that these teachers that he's talking about were trying to send people to hell. They were just trying to build a big church. You know, they're just trying to get a lot of people to agree with them because it sounds so nice.
But they get a lot of money.
They do get a lot of money.
You gotta look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and well, it says that a pastor shouldn't be preaching for filthy lucre.
Yeah, but they do. They
do.
Aren't saved.
Yeah.
They know no better.
Absolutely. If you don't buy me this jet plane, God's going to kill me. You know what I would have bought him? A coffin? All right? If God's going to kill you, you don't get this plane, you're going to die. You know? But you see what I'm saying? Y'all remember the story of that individual that came up with that a few years ago. He had his own private jet, but he said, there's a new fancier jet that I got to have.
Yeah.
And God said, if you guys don't buy it for me, he's going to kill me.
Yeah.
And they bought it for him.
Well, Jim Jones.
Yeah.
Look at how they followed him.
Ooh, amen.
Stupidly.
Out of ignorance. You know, because they were believing the teacher and not the word. Right? And here, what he's saying about these false teachers that were alive in In Peter's time, they were already gone out. In John's time, he said many false teachers, false prophets have gone out. Mm-hmm. They're natural brute beasts. May be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Mm-hmm. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own devices while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous, and practices their cursed children. Wow. You look at how Peter talks about these false teachers. Look at how he describes them. Mm-hmm. All right, when they have a reward of unrighteousness. What's the reward of unrighteousness? Now remember, he's talking to pastors here. Are people leading people to hell. Mm-hmm. Their reward is unrighteousness. Their reward is being cast out. The reward is the payment of sin, which is death. All right, not the physical death, but a spiritual death, being cast out. And they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. See, they're sporting in themselves. They really believe what they're telling you. They believe it, but it's absolutely wrong. They're rioting in the daytime. They're partying all the time. Right? It's all good. Don't worry. God will never judge you for your sin. It's a don't worry about that. You'll never have to. Sporting. Yeah. Sporting themselves. They look good, they talk good, they build themselves up. Wow. We had 47 people come to the Lord and they take their sporting football and they spank it to the ground. Woohoo! Touchdown. Stop that. Right? Just stop that. That's not what a pastor's supposed to do.
No.
It's not about self-promotion.
Right.
These folks are making themselves look good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
While they're leading people straight to hell.
Yeah.
They have eyes full of adultery.
Yeah.
That's how, and if you can tell that, well, that one pastor we were talking about, he wasn't a pastor. I keep calling him a pastor. He was an apologist. Yeah. And he had an eye for the ladies. And he was speaking truth and he was doing it. But today he's standing before God as an adulterer.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say one way or the other.
I would think if you're on your deathbed.
I would hope so.
You had plenty of time during the cancer to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people know. You know when it's not right. You're not right.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't care who you are. You know you're not content inside.
Yeah. And if you're right, if he asked for forgiveness, and I'm not casting stones at him because I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm not in his heart. In fact, the Bible tells me don't tell anyone they're going to heaven or going to hell. That's not my job.
Yeah.
My job is simply to tell the truth about the Word of God. And I don't know what this guy did. I don't even know what they say is true.
No, it's true. They found his daughter. They found the emails and the texts. It actually is.
Yeah, so it is
it's just so
factual. It is sad. It is sad.
You know what bothers me about that is it all comes out after he dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why right off the bat I go, oh, really?
Yeah.
He's not here to defend him. But I know I feel
right.
that.
Right. I feel the same way until they
disparage him when he's dead.
Then they have the proof.
Right.
Because, you know.
And I mean, we're talking about one person that we know of.
Yeah.
How many of these so-called pastors in the pulpit are living dual lives?
Yeah.
How many Christians are living dual lives?
Right.
How many folks are surfing things they ought not be surfing on the internet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many pairs of shoes do you need? I use shoes because I don't want to say anything that would offend you. Well, I guess I did. Because
oh,
So, anyhow,
I think you better look towards men.
There you go. Yeah. More. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Well,
in dementia, they pull off their clothes and they ask people if they're interested.
Really?
My poor friend Mary Lou.
Wow.
In the dining room.
Well, no person staying hospital. I saw things that I didn't care to see.
Yeah, there you go.
This is a man. I mean, that's his last thought in dementia. Mm-hmm. Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's harder for men.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not wired the same.
Yeah, we aren't. We really aren't.
We aren't wired like you.
No, we aren't.
You guys have
Anyhow, these false teachers, their eyes are full of adultery, all right? And they cannot cease from sin. Their eyes are full of following things that are not God-like. They're doing things that are not confined inside of the Word of God. And it says that they can't even cease from it. They've been doing it for so long that they don't even feel
seared
the conviction.
Conscience.
A seared conscience, yes. Their conscience has been seared as with a hot iron.
They don't even know what
it is. Yeah, absolutely. And they've been teaching it and doing these things that are ungodly for so long that they don't even know that there's a judgment because of it. And they don't even realize that as they're speaking the truth, that it's not having the effectual work that it could have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen? I'm not saying that God can't use it, because we're going to find out.
Use the donkey.
Yes, we're in verse 15. We're getting to it. If he can talk to a donkey, he can talk to a guy like that. Full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, being unstable souls. Now, that unstable souls says a lot about those people, too. Christians that are unstable, being blown around by every wind of doctrine, not knowing what to believe because they're not anchored to Christ. Right? And so any prophet that comes along, they'll go, "Ooh, look, he's over here. Oh, look, he's over there." You know, it's this prophet, it's that prophet. Listen, there's the Bible. I really don't need a prophet today.
We got the Bible.
I got the Bible. I got the fullness of the Word of God. I don't need a lot of people's opinions about what the Bible says.
No.
I have the Holy Spirit and I have the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need my opinion. You know that? You know, everybody has an opinion. Smart people keep them covered up. Right? And so it goes along with another saying. Mm-hmm. But in that, they have, they're unstable. Are you concreted in, well, what was that fellow said? Do you really believe what you say you believe is real? Mm-hmm. Do we really believe that when we read this word, when we're in men's group, we just started Romans chapter 1 again, in that first five verses, there are some statements in there. Do you really believe what that says is real? Mm-hmm. Because if you believe it's real, you wouldn't be living a way that would disappoint the God that saved you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you got to believe it's real. That there is a judgment. That he is a just God. He's holy and he's full of love and he's graceful. All that. But he's just too. And he will hold us accountable.
Yes.
If we say that we're Christian and we live like we're not Christian, what the world sees about us will determine what they believe about the God we say we serve. All right? So you say you serve God, but you got a stack of Playboys in your bathroom, right? You say you believe God, but you don't do the things that God... We're not loving. We say we love God, but we don't love our neighbor. We say we love God, but we don't care for the widows. We say we love God, but we don't care for the orphans. We say we love God, but we don't love each other. Then what does the world see when they see a Christian today?
Yeah, right.
We say we love God, and we walk around with our face covered up.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, they're going to...
All right, you know? They're going to try. You know, they're going to have to sew one onto my face before I'm going out everywhere. I mean, don't get me wrong. To stop from offending somebody, I do wear my turkey mask. All right? It's the mask that you use for turkey hunting. You can see through it, but it makes them feel better. You know? And so, yeah, when I go to the store, especially if I want to go in the store because they won't let you.
Well, yeah. You have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you have a choice. Take the mark or don't buy, sell, or trade. All right?
All right.
I'm not saying that the mask is the mark, but it definitely is the foreground
for submission,
of it,
right?
Of submission, right. Of giving in to that thing. And so it says, their unstable souls have a heart. They have exercised with covetous practices, and they're cursed children. Mm. Now, all of us have kids, and we're not always pleased with our kids, but would you ever curse one of them? He's talking about curse being sending them to hell. Mm-hmm. He says that these were children that he's going to send to hell. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought of that? They're cursed children. How do you become a child of God? How do you become a cursed child of God?
By rejecting salvation. Absolutely. So one is by accepting salvation,
one is by rejecting. Yeah. And these are teachers. And it says, which have forsaken the right way, they are gone astray, following the way of Balaam. Now, listen, they forsook the right way. So that means they knew what the right way was. You can't forsake something if you've never been in it. Mm. Right? These false teachers, they had to start out right. They started out with the right understanding of who God is. They started out with understanding salvation. It's very much like the parable of the wheat. No, of the seeds in the soil. They all accepted this, and it grew up, but they looked around, the cares of the world choked them out.
Yeah.
But the seed was planted, the seed was the word of God, they accepted the seed, and they grew. But when they looked around and it got hard because of persecution, they walked away, and they were choked out, and they died. These folks here, they knew the right way, but they forsook it. They'd gone astray, following the way of Balaam. Do y'all remember the account of Balaam and Bozar? Bozar. I'm sure it's a different name, but I pronounce it that way. And so there was a priest, a Levite priest, right? And
was he Levite?
Yeah, I believe he was. He was. It'd be easy to find this, Numbers chapter 22. And because I looked at it today, and that's why Levite slipped out of my mouth, because I thought that it was. He was. And anyhow, as I'm talking, I can be looking it up at the same time. And so, yada yada yada, black son of Zophar boy. Anyhow, I came to Balaam and said, son of Zophar. No, it doesn't say that he was.
The son of Beor.
Yeah, that's the only thing I saw also. Mm-hmm. And who loved wages, the wages of unrighteousness. So this fellow who's going to be a priest loved the wages of unrighteousness. How do you know a false teacher? How do you know one of these false prophets? They love the wages of unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. They love the way that does. And God says, but he was, but was rebuked for his iniquity by a dumbass. What says that? You know, a donkey. All right, but it says dumbass.
I know. Yeah.
Speaking with the man's voice, forbidding him the madness of the prophet. And these are wells without water, clouds that are carried without with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. So these false teachers, they're clouds. Have you ever been in a real dry spot? I lived down south for a long time. There'd come up a cloud in the middle of summer that was, you were hoping for rain. Yeah. And there'd come a cloud, and you'd hope that there was rain in that cloud. It looked like rain, but there wasn't a drop of water in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you had all your hope up in that, but it had nothing to offer you. These false teachers, you can have a lot of hope in them, but they have nothing to offer you. They're wells without water. Again, walking through the desert. And you come across a well, right? And you think, man, I need the water out of that well, and there's no way to prime that pump. Or when you do get the pump primed, there's no water in the well. Mm-hmm. What a disappointment that is. To be following somebody, and they're leading you down the road of death. And following them wholeheartedly. And there's nothing to them. They're clouds carried about by the tempest. Mm-hmm. To whom the mist, in the middle of darkness, the mist of darkness is reserved forever. They speak swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that are that were clean escape them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. Now, that, we spent way too much talking about other stuff this before we started church tonight, because there's so much there. I want to unpack it, but it's already after 8 o'clock, and I know it's midweek.
Time goes so
fast. It does. So what we're going to do, we're going to hold it off right there, and let's go home this week and look at that, about these false teachers, what he's talking about, and really dig in to see that they speak these swelling words of vanity. What does that mean? All right, look into that. We'll discuss it next week. They allure through the lust of the flesh. Now, what's that mean? What's that pastor doing? What's that false teacher doing?
You can take the mark.
Yeah. You don't worry about it. You can do whatever you want.
I heard of two teachers. I heard one of them even say it on the radio.
Really?
Ken Holden.
Oh.
Oh, I don't listen to any of that.
I couldn't believe he said it.
Tongues, people. Good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
King Ken Holden.
He's real big on evolution. He destroys evolution.
Smart guy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've not heard of him.
And he said, you can take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of exactly against the word of God. Yeah.
I heard of another well-known, more well-known than that.
Yeah.
Say it too.
Well, again, don't follow men.
No,
don't follow what men are saying to you. Don't believe what I say to you. Check everything that's said through Scripture. Right? Because believe it or not, if I have not said something wrong, hold on. It's coming. Right? I am not perfect in the Word, in the Word of God. I don't know everything. And folks, if you ever think you know everything, guess what? You're wrong. I saw your hand back there, brother.
Yeah, I was just going to say, whoever is saying that you can still take the mark and go to heaven, they must have one of those Bibles that's like, choose your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure. Amen. Who wants to close with prayer, folks? I love you, but it's late. I'm going to go home. Lay down. Any of you? Go ahead, Jake. Pray for it, brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for
Lord.
Being able to come and study your word, pay attention to exactly what it's saying. And in learning your word, we cannot be deceived.
Amen.
We take it for face value.
That's it.
And Lord, we just thank you for your mercy that we ask from you. And you know how weak we are. We just ask that you care for us for your name's sake. And Lord, we lift up all those that were mentioned earlier in prayer.
Yes.
And Lord, we just lift up the children of the world that are being abused
dear Lord.
Sold and
dear Lord.
Unbelievable, Lord. What's going on in the world, we just pray that your angels will go and stop the demons that are in the elite that are causing it, to worship Satan.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray that you block this stuff.
Yes, Jesus.
And have mercy on these poor people that are being trafficked.
Oh, God.
And,
open people's eyes.
Lord, we just pray that you'd block the demon-possessed government in our own country here and around the world, Lord. We see how all the governments pretty much have been taken over by Satan's
demons.
In the power of the fallen angels, and we just pray that you block this stuff, Lord.
Yes.
We know that you have the power to do it.
Amen.
And we just pray that you'll convict us to be more like you all the time.
Give us a hunger and a thirst.
Yes, Lord. Help us to be focused all times.
Preach without talking.
Yeah. And we just thank you and praise you for all things. And we look forward to doing this more. In Jesus' name we pray with all this stuff. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.